6 o'clock and time for Saints Sports Weekly. Hello again, everyone. My name is Pat Hayes, and Fred Smith is with me again tonight. How you doing, Fred?
Doing great, Pat. It's always good to spend Monday nights with you.
And, of course, tonight's program being brought to you in part by the IAT Insurance Agency, Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, by Siena Heights University, and by Magic Fountain Auto Wash. And, Fred, tonight we're going to talk a little bit of women's lacrosse as we have a couple of players in studio with us tonight, and we'll be talking all about that.
Yeah, and this program certainly has just been a great, well, I say addition. It's been around now for probably 10, 15 years anyhow.
It flies by, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It seems like I was just AD, but when Coach Hill brought in Alexa, Coach Matt has just done a great job bringing it along. And the great thing is not only how competitive they've been, just the fine young women that they've brought in to represent Siena. And we're going to get a chance to interview a couple of these young ladies tonight.
Yeah, we've got Jenna Alley with us, along with Sophia Baugh, and both from the Detroit area. And Jenna, you are a sophomore.
Yeah, correct.
And both of you went to Divine Child, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So you knew each other before you came to Siena?
Yeah, we previously knew each other. We played. We both started playing in high school. I started my freshman year. Sophia started playing her sophomore year. And so we really got connected through the lacrosse at our school.
So that's you met each other at lacrosse at D.C. then, right?
Well, kind of. Yeah, so actually we're family friends with some of her cousins. So Sophia and I have, like, known of each other, like, for a long time.
Well, one of the things, you know, D.C., or I've always known it as D.C., Divine Child is always, you know, it's located in Dearborn, but being a parochial school, Pat and I were part of that process years ago. Where are you guys from originally? I mean, do you live in Dearborn, or where's your family at?
I'm from Livonia.
And you are?
I'm from Canton.
Canton, okay, good. So you were on our show last year, right?
Yeah, correct.
Good deal. So why don't you, if you don't mind, can you we'll bring you right up here so we can talk to both of you at the same time. I think that'd be great, you know. There we go. You guys just being true teammates. Coach mentioned that you guys had some community service or something. I don't know. She just texted me. I don't know. Some things that you've been doing with the program.
Yeah, so we all signed up to spend a little bit of time reading to one of the elementary schools around here.
That's awesome. Which
Alexandra. You've been Alexandra Elementary School.
Good deal. Yeah. So what grades have you been reading to?
I think it's been changing by the week. I think, Sophia, you did kindergarten.
Yeah.
And then I did young fives this past week. So, like, we kind of alternate. Like, we have specific people sign up for every week. And, like,
that is so special. I did that years ago over at Prairie. So,
yeah.
In fact, one of my cousins, rest in peace, Seal Swartz, used to get me to do that every year.
Oh, yeah.
And what a treasure.
Yeah.
That is to do that. So you guys have been doing this for a while, or?
We started reading to the kids, I think, last year.
Gotcha.
And now we've just incorporated it more and doing more days of doing it instead of just a couple days out of the year.
Right, right. So talk to me, both you guys, about when each of you, one at a time, when you first got acquainted with women's lacrosse, how old you were, et cetera.
Yeah, so like I said, we both got connected to lacrosse at Divine Child. So I was a freshman in high school, so I was 14 at the time. I grew up playing basketball and dance, so I did POM in high school, and so I really wanted a spring sport. So I was thinking about track. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do track. And then all of a sudden, like, we were like, oh, we're starting a club lacrosse team. And I was like, you know what, I'll just try it for fun.
So that was the first time you played it?
Yeah, first time touched a stick. My brother had played in high school, so
right.
He played men's lacrosse, but it's a very different game.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So I knew what lacrosse was, but I wasn't familiar with the girls' game at all.
Right, and that was your, what year? Your
My freshman year.
And
yeah, and then my sophomore year, we started playing it in gym class just as one of our units at Divine Child, and I actually went to our AD at Divine Child asking about maybe starting a team, and that's when the club team started. I had, just like Jenna, I'd only been on cheer at Divine Child, and the AD said yes and got us a club team, and it just kind of went from there.
So you both did competitive cheer. And
I didn't do cheer. I did POM.
You did POM. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, didn't mean to. You know, all these new sports are certainly, it's like stunt now and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of new sports. But when you were younger, did you guys play any other sports, soccer or basketball, or try any of that stuff?
Yeah, so I kind of tried it all when I was younger, but what I really stuck with was basketball.
Right.
I did travel, did school from right. the time I was like 5 through the end of 8th grade. So I really thought I was going to end up playing in high school, but didn't end up working out that way.
So what attracted you right away to lacrosse that now you're playing in college?
I think what attracted me the most was just like it was just new to our school, and I thought it was just a great opportunity to try something new. And if I didn't like it, I always figured I could like fall back on like track or something. I've always kind of like been athletic, so I just knew that I could kind of fall back on that if I really didn't like lacrosse. But obviously, I ended up falling in love with it.
So what was the toughest thing? Both of you can answer this individually. Was it learning the game, the handling of the stick, or what that was the toughest thing to learn?
Probably just getting acquainted with all the rules and the skills that are needed to play the game. I think once you kind of get a hang of it, I mean, you can just skyrocket from there once you pick up a stick.
Did you after you start playing high school, did you play any travel too, or did you just...
Yeah. Okay. Both of us went right into the same travel team right after our first season.
Yes.
We went right into travel in the summer.
So in high school, is lacrosse in the spring also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's how it is, obviously,
in
college. So my next question is, you get into your junior, senior year, and how did you hear about Siena Heights?
I looked at a lot of different schools. My dad actually found Siena Heights.
No kidding.
And yeah, he was like, I already talked to the coach, like, you're going on a tour. And I was honestly kind of hesitant. He already made me look at a ton of random schools.
She was really hesitant. She was at my house the night before. This is a funny story. We like to tell a story. She was at my house the night before she was touring Siena.
Right.
And she's like, I've toured so many schools, I don't know what I want to do. She was about to go down to Florida and play in Florida. And she's like, I really don't want to go tour this school. Like, it's in Adrian.
She was like, what?
And then, like, the next thing I knew, the next week, she's like, I'm going to Siena Heights. So I was like, what? Like, you just told us you didn't even want to go.
Yeah, my dad found Siena somehow, some way.
Right.
And I was just, I'd seen so many, I was over it. I was just like, I just want to pick. I just, like, want to be done with the stress of it, because it was so late in the year when I committed. But I met Coach, I took a tour of campus, and I was like, this is it. Like, I'm actually not going to look anymore.
So, what attracted you when you first came to campus? I mean, so you're coming, you're kind of going, I'll do this for Dad. I'm coming to Adrian, as you said, which, you know, Pat and I are lifelongers, even though of Adrian. We love this little two McDonald town. But what was your first impression of Siena and Coach and everything else and the program itself that made you interested?
I knew a lot about Adrian as a town because my grandma lives about 20 minutes out here, and she lives in Onsted.
No kidding, yeah.
So I grew up coming out here, and I was like,
okay.
No, you know, I've been out there all my life. I don't know if I want to go to school out there. But then when I met Coach, and I met a player that was on the team at the time who's now one of our assistant coaches, Marissa, just their demeanor and the way they talked about the sport and how they ran the team really was just everything I was looking for, along with they had already been an established program. As much as I loved Divine Child and I loved starting that team and being a part of it, I didn't want to come to college
and start from scratch. Yeah.
Yeah.
So academically, what were your interests?
My dad, once again, talked me into starting out in cybersecurity.
Right.
That didn't last long. I'm now in accounting, I love it. I love accounting. I will say that. Not many people do, but I switched majors in the first semester. Cybersecurity did not last me long. Yeah.
Well, that's outstanding. I mean, in accounting, as we all know, they're special people. We all need accountants, and they don't certainly... the accounting majors that I've been acquainted, they have great jobs, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah, oh, no question about that. Now, talk about your journey at Ciena and how did you hear about the...
Yeah, so I heard about Ciena kind of through Sophia. Yes. Like, obviously, I still love the story about her touring, but they actually kind of found me, Ciena found me on accident. Because they, again, Marissa Serino, she's now one of our assistant coaches, she came out to watch us play Plymouth, who is her alma mater. And so she came out to watch Sophia play. She's like, oh, we just had this girl commit from Divine Child. And then they ended up seeing me playing too. And they were like, oh, wait, we want her too. So they reached out to me, I believe through Instagram, and they were like, hey, like, we'd like to, I like opened my Instagram and they're like, hey, we'd love to like get you on the phone, get you to campus on a tour and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, I'll see what it's all about. So loved it when she went on the tour and stuff. And basically the same thing, I came on my tour, I think I was going into my senior year, it was like June going into my senior year. And again, I just loved Coach. I loved the homey feel on campus. I never really been out to Adrian. I been to Ciena Heights once when I was like 10 for a basketball tournament, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So kind of a full circle moment. Yeah, my dad and I traveled out here for a basketball tournament. We never thought I'd be playing lacrosse here, but, and so I kind of knew about it from that. Didn't quite remember it though. And so, but yeah, ended up just coming and falling in love with the smaller campus feel and the girls, obviously. I had a little bit more of a personal experience when I'd come do my overnights with, like, Soph.
Yeah,
and
she followed me here.
No.
So academically, what has your journey been? Now, you're only a sophomore, so you're still only just in your third semester of full-time.
Yeah, so I am a sophomore, and I'm currently studying marketing.
Okay.
And definitely going to finish out with that in pursuits of my MBA as well. And coming in, I knew I either wanted to do something the business route or exercise science and then pursue physical therapy, and just decided that was a little too much school. And I kind of just wanted to get in, get out. I've always loved like the marketing aspect, the kind of creative side of business. And so that's really what I decided I wanted to concentrate on.
Well, you know, talk about so much now when we, you know, things change is... Pat and I, you know, we've lived on this earth for both a long time. When you talk about getting recruited by Instagram, you know, that's interesting to me. And
what is that?
I recruited 30 years, and I have to admit, I never recruited anybody by Instagram. But I see now it's a brave new world. And but what is it first about the culture of the team that attracted you? And the second question I want to ask is, how hard of an adjustment was to come in as a freshman?
For the team aspect, I mean, I got very lucky. I think we both did at Divine Child. I think that was one of the best teams I've ever played on.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, we were just such a close team. We were all learning the game together, which I think brought us a lot closer. I think it made playing games a lot easier with each other. There's a lot more of a grace to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And coming in as a freshman for me, I think it definitely was a little bit of a shock just coming from a program that had just started to an already established team. I was definitely ready for the challenge, and I enjoyed it a lot. I actually got injured my freshman year, so I got four games into my first season here. But honestly, I think that was definitely one of the best things that could have happened to me. I got to see a lot of what was going on the field from a different perspective, especially not have playing college across ever coming in as a freshman. But I mean, it was just a great experience coming in.
And that, and I think that was your freshman year. We were 7-2 in the league, and I think we go to the nationals.
We went to nationals my freshman
year. Yeah. So you know, that had to be good for you to observe then.
It was definitely, I mean, you could just tell. I mean, you can see it when you're also involved in playing on the field with them, but seeing all the work that's put in outside of the field and just from being on the bench, I mean, it's definitely a different perspective to see.
Yeah. Is now it? She gets to fifth year and graduate with me.
Yeah.
I will be fifth yearing to get my MBA.
Yeah, right. And you can. Yeah. And I was just going to say, you probably got a red shirt.
Yeah, or, I did. I red shirted
we
my
call
freshman
it,
year.
Yeah, a hardship, but a red shirt, an extra year.
I'm just curious. We talked a lot about Divine Child. How big of a school is Dearborn Divine Child?
Is about like 800-ish. Like I think it kind of varies on the year, 600, 800. My graduating class was 220.
Yeah I think mine was just a little under that.
Okay, so there. It's a fairly good-sized school.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's one of the Catholic schools, you know, from when we look back to the 60s and 70s where there's so many Catholic schools. With the advent of open enrollment and everything, only the strong survive. And the strong have survived. You know, if you go, these young ladies probably won't remember Southgate Aquinas and Bishop Borges and so many of the schools. St. Martin of Porres, that all have closed.
And Adrian Catholic
Center. Adrian Catholic Center, right.
Definitely heard of that one.
Yeah, that's... you know, Pat.
That's going way back.
Yeah, Pat graduated from Piotr Center. No, I mean Adrian Kelly Center. That's a little joke I tell my brother. But what happened, and you know, just to educate our audience, is that the Catholic Central's, Brother Rice's, University of Detroit High, U of D High. I'm trying to think of the others. The larger schools have survived. They're really, really strong. Same thing in Toledo, but. Getting to your adjustment as a freshman, how was that for you coming in?
I'd like to think that I was very prepared for college. I was very much ready for that next stage in my life. And obviously having Sophia here was a cushion for coming in. You know, I was lucky enough to know someone, and not only know someone, but know how Sophia was as a teammate, and just like how much of a close-knit culture our team was at Divine Child, and hearing about her experience her freshman year and how it was a similar shift team-wise, still that close-knit, like family type of feel.
Right.
I think it just gave me a lot more confidence in the recruiting process itself, and by the time I committed and stuff, by the time I committed, it was like January of my senior year, so, you know, I still had heard of what Sophia's freshman year was going like, and it kind of definitely put me in a better headspace knowing that there was people there for me and that it was going to be a similar kind of culture. So it was actually a pretty smooth transition, and it was great because I lived in the dorms. My suite mates are on track. And so it was kind of really cool getting to know people from other teams in that sense too. So I kind of just had a great overall group. I got really lucky. I had my teammates. I had Sophia, and I also had these new people that I was meeting in my living space.
Well, Pat, you cut me off whenever you're ready to go to commercial.
Okay.
All right. So one other thing I want to talk about a little bit, and that is the positions you played, the positions that you played at DC, Divine Child, and the positions you're playing currently for the Saints. Mm-hmm. So who wants to go first here?
We got Sophia first. Sophia.
The team got started at Divine Child, once again, my dad.
Shout out to Chad Baugh.
I gotta meet this guy.
Chad Baugh had very much of an influence on my decisions. We didn't have a goalie. And my dad was like, you know what, say you'll do it. Like, just step up. Someone will feel bad, step up. Well, nobody felt bad. Nobody felt
bad.
So
you were a goalie.
I was a goalie for my sophomore year season. I went into travel that summer playing defense, actually.
Right.
And then once junior year was COVID, and then my senior year I was able to play midfield for Divine Child for my actual high school season. And then once I got to college, I kind of stayed in that midfield position, and that's where I am right now.
And how about you, Jen?
For me, my story is a lot more simple. I've kind of always been a
midfielder. I noticed that on your,
I'm a true midfielder. I love the both offensive and defensive ends, so it's just stuck throughout my whole career.
So, you know, you came off a season, your first season, where, you know, obviously anytime you go to the NAI National Tournament, the WAC is a very competitive women's lacrosse conference. And then last year, right away, you guys, you know, had some adjustments. You really rebounded. Talk about your season last year.
We lost a lot of our starting players graduating after my freshman year, but last year I think we really came together as a team and saw that we can operate without them as much as we all loved them. And I mean, they were outstanding players. We still could operate without them. And I think it was a little bit of a slow start to the season, like adjusting to that. Because I mean, that was a big adjustment, like losing a lot of our leaders as well. But I think the team really came together and stepped up, and we really put in the work to get where we were by the end of the season. And I think that really just prepared us all the more for this upcoming season.
Yeah, you guys finished 4-5 in a conference, and 5-10 overall. I know Coach Matt always plays. You guys play a very aggressive out of conference schedule.
Yes. We always have a very aggressive schedule, but I mean, it helps us honestly.
It gets us ready.
And how was it you joining a team that was kind of a whole new team last year?
Yeah, so coming in as a freshman is definitely a different perspective than what Sophia has on last season. It was just, we had a lot of fresh minds. We had, I think, 10 freshmen coming in last year, so we knew it was a young team. It was going to be an adjustment, but I think coming in, like, knowing that I was coming into a college team, like, I was ready for the intensity and was ready to kind of just learn, and obviously with a lot of the new people, we knew it was going to be a learning curve. But again, I think as we went through the season, we just grew together, and I think that's really going to be showcased this season, and we're going to come out ready to go.
All right, you're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on Inside the Cave. We're talking about Siena Heights women's lacrosse with Jenna Alley and Sophia Ball. And, of course, Fred Smith. We'll be back with more of our program after we pause for these words. You're Inside the Cave and Saints Sports Weekly.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with IAT Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, Fred Smith with you tonight. And we're talking about Siena Heights women's lacrosse. And in studio, our guests are Jenna Alley and Sophia Baugh, both members of the women's lacrosse team.
Yeah, and we've hit a lot of subjects as these guys, you can tell, one's going to be a marketing major. They're very articulate and talkative young ladies to make our job easier. And as we were talking off air, Coach Pat and I, we enjoy so much hearing the stories and the journeys. And you guys have a big journey coming up in over break as you open your season down in Southern Florida, where you play St. Thomas, which is outside of Miami. Then you go over to play Warner and Kaiser, which is, I think, in West Palm, which are all very, very competitive teams. So, first off, talk about your fall training. What did you do this fall, and what do you do in fall lacrosse? I mean, because obviously the weather's good. It's pretty hard to play lacrosse now. But talk about your fall training and how you're going to get ready to open the season in Florida.
Yeah, so in the fall, we basically kind of have, like, play days, per se.
Right.
So we had three this year. So in the NAIA.
Yeah, like scrimmages.
Yeah, scrimmages. Yeah. But so in the NAIA, we don't really – we're lucky enough to not have to do just one of those. We got three this year. So we have the opportunity, and we definitely take advantage of that. So this year was – it was more so of, like, a mini season. So we came back, and the week after we came back, it was straight into that mile test, straight into that fitness testing. It was full swing ahead. And it was awesome because it definitely – it was a reminder for sure of what was ahead.
So when you came back to school in late August or September, you started your program pretty quick, and you went to what, probably mid-October?
Yeah, it was mid-October.
About 6-7 weeks?
Yeah, so we had games or scrimmages here. We went to Central Michigan, and we played Davenport, and who else did we play there? We played Davenport and one other team there, and...
Albion.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you play at Siena?
At Siena, we played Tiffin. And
boy, sounds like you guys had a very
it was a busy fall. It was a busy fall, so we had several. So we were playing more than one scrimmage for like 3 weekends.
How do you think the team did?
I think we did great. I think we're young again this year, but we still have that growth that we came off of from last season. So I think the fall was a great time for us to kind of mix and, like, find those missing puzzle pieces that we didn't have last season that we're finding in the freshmen this year. So it was a great opportunity to kind of get everyone used to playing with one another.
I'm looking at your roster size. What do you have? I'm looking around 20.
I think we have 21, 22 now.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good ideal size, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm thinking that's, you know, when you have usually between men and women's lacrosse, when I was there, we'd have 30 men, about 20 women, about 50 in lacrosse. Mm-hmm. What are your goals as a team this year?
I think one of our goals is to continue growing together. I think that's one thing about a younger team that really sets us apart is that because we are all so young in the program, everybody can just see that how much growth there is to be had. Like, everybody notices it. Everybody knows that they can improve themselves just for the team. But I think our goal is just to keep, like Jenna said, keep going off of that growth, keep pushing and keep, you know, playing together in there, that aspect.
From what I can tell, you know, you guys, there's 10 teams that are in the WAC in women's lacrosse. Mm-hmm. That includes 8 of our traditional WAC schools and 2 Indiana schools that I think are...
just for lacrosse.
What do they call them? Associate members, Marion out of Indianapolis and Bethel out of Mishawaka, I believe. So how many teams do you know, and this is where I'd probably coach answer, go to the postseason tournament and the league tournament? Is it 4, 8, or do you know?
I believe it's the winner of each conference goes.
No, but I'm talking about the WAC, the league tournament. I mean, what do you have to do?
It's 1 through 6.
Six teams. That's the number one goal is to get in that.
Yes.
Which you guys, I think you were in it last year. Did you get it? Yeah.
Yes.
And the year before, obviously, I think if you didn't win it, the league tournament, I know you were in the finals of it.
Yes, we were.
And this was another coach question, if they've done a preseason poll or not, I don't know. But
Not yet.
You would know that. Yeah, it hasn't been posted yet. So your goal, number one, I assume, would be to get in the postseason tournament, right?
Yes.
And who are the traditionally teams that are the strongest and your biggest rivals within the conference?
this year, definitely defending national champs now is Lawrence Tech. They're going to be.
They hosted, I think, didn't they? Yeah, the past national tournament. Yeah.
They're always huge competitors, but especially this year with them coming off of that win from last year, it's going to be a tough one, but we're ready for it.
And who is the team that the Lady Saints like to beat?
Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
We love that win.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
That seems to be a common.
That's a common answer. Right.
I noticed that for Adrian is not on our schedule this year.
They're normally our preseason.
Yeah, they're exhibition.
Yeah, exhibition, right.
I did see on their Instagram that we are scrimmaging them.
Ours just might not be updated.
I just don't think ours is updated. Right, yeah.
And that's good because it's always fun. It's like a great way, in my opinion, to showcase your sport to, I don't know, I think we have one Lenawee County program that plays lacrosse. I think it's Tecumseh.
Yeah. Tecumseh
and,
has program.
And I think the more the merrier as these sports are growing.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for young ladies that are involved in other sports, you know.
I know we talked a little bit about, you talked about your chemistry coming from Divine Child. Tell us what the chemistry's like with your team here at Siena Heights for women's lacrosse.
I think it's growing every practice and every day. I think we're really learning how to make those connections. I think that's one of the biggest challenges coming from college is to jump in the connections that were already there in the previous season, especially incoming as a freshman. And I think our freshmen this year have done a great job of finding their place in the way we play and improving it from there. And I really just think we've been flowing, and I think it's going to be great by the time season gets here.
Yeah, the biggest thing with coming into your college team is kind of finding where you belong in it. And like we like to say, like everyone's kind of like a little puzzle piece. Lacrosse is a huge team sport, so everyone on that field is equally important. And so you might not have the same exact role that you had in high school, but you come in here and you find your new role, and it's just as important as everyone else's.
Yeah, you know, and I know we asked this question a little bit behind the scenes of all of the athletics is the nutrition part of the program. Tell us about what your program looks like.
Well, personally, I live off campus, so I fend for myself. I mean, just your normal, you know, make sure you're getting your protein and carbs before big runs and stuff like that. I'm lucky enough to have my grandma 20 minutes away, so I get a meal from my Grammy once a week. So, and she's a West Virginia lady, so I get fed really good once a week by her.
That's great. And you?
So I live on campus, so it is more the traditional, you know, university cafeteria. And I think at some points it's kind of just what you can make out of it. Again, you need to make sure that you're getting your carbs, your proteins, your vegetables. So you kind of have to find your way around and really put those things together yourself sometimes.
Well, you come on campus, you were very active in training, competing, and now you open again in March 3rd. Now you're doing obviously some community service and some other stuff. Do you, as a team, what do you do? Do you do any conditioning or weight training during this lull, or is that, how organized is that?
Yes. So during the fall, we have our about 5 weeks of where we're practicing three times a week, and then we have our individual lifts, and then we also do, it's called Shanti. It's kind of like a mixed cardio agility
hit workout.
Yeah. Okay. And so we do that as a team, and we've continued those throughout. Like once our practice has stopped, we still continue that individual lift, and then we meet that once a week for that HIIT workout together.
And then when you get back after break, you start to gear up.
Yeah, break is, we have Hell Week when we come back.
Yeah.
We've got Hell Week, and
sounds like a fraternity sorority thing.
Yep, so we've got that when we come back. So that's a week of no sticks and just straight conditioning, making sure everyone did their due diligence over their winter break and working out on your own and stuff. Then we go straight into sticks, and that's pretty much our real season is starting.
Yeah, and that's always where we're, you guys, or maybe not you as much, your coaches are always looking at 10-day weather reports because,
yes.
You know, the field house is you know, you have 15, 20 odd teams that want to get in there, and so you can get in there when
it's
you
a
can.
It's a zoo in there.
And but when we some years we have a mile winter, you can get outside. And we know springs in Michigan, you probably play in some tough weather. I know.
Oh yeah.
You already
to rethink sometimes.
There's this other program that's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe Pat, you can preface this. I don't know some hero.
I think every year we have a shop with a hero, and the police departments and colleges and universities get together. Of course, we both know Ben Negron at Meyer. They always do a fantastic job and giving some discounts for the toys and things that you guys are going to be picking out, right?
Yep. So we're each going to shop with one of the children and help keep track of the stuff that they're picking out and the totals of all that. There's about six or seven of us going tomorrow. We're going to be in our jerseys. Mm-hmm. Coach is going to be there, and we're going to spend our time.
Yeah, so each kid gets a $100 gift card from Meijer. So we're kind of just leading them through that store and just giving that opportunity. A lot of them I know like pick out like clothes for their family members, Christmas gifts, things that like their family really needs. So it's really, we love to do these type of outreach opportunities. Like we talked about the books and stuff, but I think this one is definitely going to be a very special one that we get to do.
Yeah, I think this one's going to end up being a recurring one for our team after
for
this.
Sure.
So this is the first year you guys have been involved in this?
Yes.
This is the first time. Yeah.
You know, Pat, I have to admit, I'm out of it now since, you know, I started. What a great program. Ben, what a, you know, special man he is. He's been a friend forever. And
you know, I know the need is out there each and every year. And you know, they try to pick out a representative number of kids to come out there. And it's just really a great program. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is something special, you know, just to hear about. And when you come spring, then you're pretty much full go lacrosse, along with your classes then, right?
Yeah.
As we, you know, this is a tough question, but it's one as being an AD of 37 years, I got to ask you. How do you balance sometimes when you have road games during the week? It could be at Lawrence Tech or maybe up at Aquinas. How do you balance that with your faculty, and how's that work at Siena, and how's that been for you guys?
So for me, people actually ask this question a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they look at me crazy when I give them my answer, but I think it's easier to balance everything in season.
Right.
Because, I mean, we're athletes. We've been used to it our whole life. We're used to that structure. And so we know when we have that hour in between class and practice, when we have our 30 minutes when we're sitting in the training room before practice heating up, like that's our time that we just, you have to, it's now or never. So you just really have to take advantage of literally every second that you have in order to keep those grades up and stay balanced, because being a student comes first always. So
I completely agree. I say the same thing. I don't think I could get through school as well as I am now without playing a sport. I think it really makes you time manage correctly, and I think it's really helps you prepare for what your life is going to be like once you graduate. Because, I mean, this isn't forever, sadly, but the professors at Siena, at least the ones that I have, I mean, they're amazing working through it. They always, as long as you communicate with them, they're more than willing to help you out in whatever games you have going on that week or practices or stuff just might be piling up. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to help. And so is Coach in that aspect, too. She's always ready to at least listen if she can't help us.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's the old saying, proper planning prevents poor performance. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was a pet peeve for me when I was a coach was when our young men, because it's always about, like you said, sounds like you guys have got your heads on straight, was when they walk into a faculty member the day before and say, hey, tomorrow we're heading to Aquinas. Boy, that steams a faculty member like you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
And so what I hear you saying is working in long term on making that an easier because it's not easy, you know, and but it's also the old adage, the busier you are, the more you get done, you know. That's that sounds like to me.
Yeah, we have a system kind of implemented. So our student athlete leadership team, our SALT team, about 4 years ago, I believe, kind of went at bat For athletes to get excused absences for games. So obviously class is always most important over practices, but for games, so we have to send our professors our schedules in the beginning of the semester, and we get those excused absences, and they're very much willing to work with you as long as you take those proper actions.
Talk
first.
About the SALT team. Are either you SALT reps?
I'm a part of it.
Why am I not surprised? So tell me what that entails.
Yeah, so it's our student athlete leadership team. I like to describe it as kind of like our student government of the athletics. I am the social media representative, and so I'm a part of the executive board. And it really is just being that voice for the athletes. You know, like a lot of athletes like say like, oh, I wish we had this, I wish we had this. But when it's brought to our attention, that's when we get to allocate like for money. I know we just got approved for money for new treadmills to be put in the field house, right, in the Spencer building. Last year we got two new like weight like trees for, right, both the Spencer and the field house. So it's kind of just being that voice, and we really do work to engage. We have halo effect games, so we have like a required game for each sport that all the athletes have to show up to. We throw out t-shirts. We really just try to get everyone engaged and get each other to one another's games to show our support.
So each program has one or two, one representative?
One at least.
Yeah,
one
at least one to
depending
two.
On the size of the,
yeah,
team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your first year doing this?
No, so I was actually part of the e-board last year as
that's
well. So
awesome.
This is my second year, yep.
And that is, you know, and I, you know, certainly am well aware of this being a former AD, but I love to hear the students talk about it, and it seems like they're doing great stuff.
Yeah, all right, you're listening to Saint Sports Weekly here on Inside the Cave. Our guest tonight from the women's lacrosse team, Jenna Alley and Sophia Ball. We'll be back with more after we pause for these sponsor messages.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Sienna, did you hear that DNP Communications is trying to compete with you?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, in December they're doing a 25-day giveaway. Everything from gadgets to gift cards.
Oh, they're not competing, they're helping. Just like they've helped connect people to what matters most since 1898. Why don't you tell everyone how they can enter?
Go to DPCOMM.com/Christmas to learn more.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Morencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads. Roads under construction or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, Fred Smith with you tonight, along with Jenna Alley and Sophia Baugh from the women's lacrosse team as we continue our cross-examination here.
Yeah, well, it's been awesome to talk to these young ladies. And, you know, we've really got a great picture of your year and some of the great things you've done and you're doing community service wise, which I'm sure warms the heart of our, it makes me happy and certainly our audience. But what I want to talk about, for so many people, unless they come to a game at Siena or over at Adrian College, they don't see women's lacrosse, you know, with only, I could tell when I did a comparison, I could see one of the ladies bristling a little bit. I didn't mean to compare the men and the women, but the men's game, I know they have shoulder pads and helmets, and they seem to, you know, they bang a lot more, and it seems like, but I know the women's game is going some undergoing change. So first, talk about the equipment you wear, some of the basic rules, and some of the rules that you think might be being changed.
Mm-hmm. So for starting, we just wear goggles and a mouth guard. That's all we're sent out there with. As for the rules, I mean, they've generally stayed similarly the same, even through high school. There's only a couple differences. From high school to college, the only big difference I ever really noticed was that defenders can go in the goalie circle.
Gotcha.
And we have a shot clock. That's pretty much the only difference, I would say.
How long is the shot clock?
90 seconds.
So once you get have possession over the mid...
There's a clock, yeah. So it's counting down from 90, and then once that hits zero, and if you have not scored or there hasn't been a turnover, you have to drop the ball and the other team gets it. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't reset like on a shot on goal?
If you get the rebound, it does.
Okay.
It resets to 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get your offensive
rebound. Yep.
And, you know, that's what's great about having those, I guess what you would call shot clock, you know, for football clocks we have out there. That, you know, that are used for both men's and women's. So you mentioned there might be a couple new rules this year. I know that's got to be – are you can you talk about that at all?
Yeah. Now we used to use really green cards for, like, if you accidentally forgot to take your jewelry off or if there was something wrong with your uniform and stuff like that. Now green cards are more used in the midfield for slight, altercations.
Like pushes.
Yes.
It kind of
extracurricular activity.
Exactly. It's an ever-evolving game, so I think this fall was a lot of trial and error throughout our scrimmages, and we had some refs that were throwing around green cards almost every call.
And what does that mean when you get a green card?
Yeah, so when you get a green card, you're out for a minute.
Yes.
So you're man up or man down. So we had
and you have to go to men do a box area.
Off the field.
Yeah, you're in the penalty box. So we had to really adjust our first two scrimmages. The green cards were crazy.
It was
green card after green card. Like, I accidentally tripped and the girl next to me tripped and they're green card and I was like, what? I just tripped. Yeah. And so there was
they're getting adjusted
as well. And so as the fall went on, by our last day of scrimmages at Central, it wasn't as crazy green cards flying everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely more of we could kind of see where the game was going at that point. We were like, okay, that makes sense that that's a green card on the draw circle. So as it was evolving, it kind of started to simmer down a little bit as everyone was getting used to it.
When I watched the game, there were a lot of whistles with, it looked like stick infractions.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what was that? And would that be considered a green card now?
So a lot of, I would say, a big call that happens a lot is shooting space. So it's basically if I were to go and take a shot and the defender came in front of me right before I released the ball, that I would get the call and I would get a free shot on their net.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because they came in front of me. No, that's not a green card. That's normally just a penalty shot. Yeah,
it's a penalty shot.
It's an 8-meter.
The green cards are really coming into play within the two restraining lines.
Gotcha.
So
within
the restraining lines, if you hit, if you get in someone's sphere in their area, then that's an automatic green card and you're out for that minute.
So is there any other colored cards that are a red card or anything?
Yeah, there's
that?
Red cards.
Red cards are if you do something pretty much out
red
of
cards,
control
yeah.
and you're done for the game, you're ejected.
Yep, you're out for the rest of that game and the next game.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's big.
Yep, then we got our normal yellow cards, which is a slash if you accidentally hit someone's
head. It's more like endangering someone, you
it's
get
a yellow.
It's
more of a dangerous but still unintentional.
Yes, so would a yellow card, would you still have that minute off?
It's two minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah. And you can only get two per game, right?
Yeah, if you get two in a game, then you
you're
cannot
out for
play
the rest
for
of the game.
But right. you can still play the next game.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just done for that
right.
one game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that's really unique, Pat, about NAIA is any ejection, okay, that happens, a copy goes to our president.
Oh.
And I remember one time, and gosh, Coach Kolesinski will probably kill me. J.K. is a very even-tempered baseball coach, right? One of the things you can't do in baseball is to question balls or strikes, right?
That's correct.
So they ask him, are you questioning balls and strikes? He goes, yes. Well, they threw him out of the game. So then we had to do an ejection report. And most of the time when he did these ejection reports, boy, Sister Peg, she'd wail on me. And most of the times I'd say, well, you know, this or that. Well, all JK says, yes, I was. And we had it. But that's one of the things that you know, in all sports, you know, you don't want to certainly be ejected.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the targeting rule in football now.
Yeah.
You get a targeting rule, you have to set out half of the next game. But, well, listen, ladies, I want to just say thank you for, you know, coming in tonight.
And, thank you for having us.
Been just tremendous representatives of Siena Heights. And women's lacrosse, and I want to wish you luck on reading to
Thank
the young
you.
People
yeah.
and the special work you're doing tomorrow.
All right, our special guests have been Jenna Alley and Sophia Baugh, and continued success.
Thank you.
All right, Fred, let's continue things along here with other things that are going on at Siena Heights University. And, of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is men's basketball and women's basketball.
Yeah, boy, well, you know, our women's basketball team, as you know, as we covered the opening game down at Lord's, I remember when we went down there and they were really expecting us that night. I'll never forget that night. But, you know, we covered a good Saints victory as they opened the season. Take it easy, ladies. With when they played nationally ranked Indiana South Bend and came right back and played nationally ranked Indiana Tech, lost a tough one. They've won 7 in a row. Including in that 7 in a row has been, I think, I want to make sure I'm correct, I think they're 4 or 5 and 1 in the conference. I'm not sure. Pat, you know, as organized as he is already looking it up. I know that Indiana Tech and Concordia
are
now
7-2 overall.
Yeah, and I think if either 4-1 or 5-1 in the league, Indiana Tech and Concordia are both undefeated, and we're sitting at third and
Four and one.
And they've really, really seemed to find their stride with losing their top two offensive players.
And coming up next on the 9th, which is this week, they're at Madonna.
Right.
And so that's gonna be a 1 o'clock ball game there.
Yeah. Well, so they play Saturday, and this is getting to the time of year where if you're not in finals, you're preparing for finals, and I know. So I'm not there for, you know, so they have to be real careful because it's not only finals, it's end of year projects, end of year things you have to do academically. And then if I remember right, they play the 9th, and then I think
there's a couple of non-conference
they go down to, I believe, I think they're playing in Florida or somewhere or at some type of shootout where they play Warner Southern, I think. Is that right? I mean,
I'm just pulling it up here again. They play Warner out of Florida.
Yeah, and then
and
it's
then,
a tournament, so
yeah,
we won't know.
It's a Puerto Rico tournament.
Yeah, the ladies, they work so hard, and they've been to Hawaii, Puerto Rico, you name it. And so they're heading down there, and then I think they're off for the holiday and come back maybe with the game and then get back into the conference swing of things. But
and you know, the men, they've got 3 wins in a row right now, and their last win, a squeaker, 55-54 over Cleary, that was up in the Lansing area.
Yeah, well, you know, right now Cleary is a new team in our league, Pat, and Their coaches, I think, are Charles Thomas, who used to play for Coach Braun Eastern Michigan. One of their assistants is Grant Long, who we see on Valley Sports all the time.
Right.
But they our guys were a little shorthanded because during their they beat Adrian, which is a good mm-hmm. win, mm-hmm. and then they came back and knocked off Northwest Ohio. But there was an altercation. A couple of our guys left the side. When the altercation happened, they left, how do you want to say it, the bench area. So they're automatically ejected and out for the next game. So we were a little shorthanded up there. Mm-hmm. Coach, I know the guys, Coach Pashota and Siljabek, do a number of interviews and stuff with the Cave. So they'll probably keep you up on that. So that was one of those games where I think they survived. They needed to survive because they were shorthanded. But that after we saw them early, they won their first one, I think, at Ohio Christian. But at Lourdes, we saw them really get pummeled that night. And, mm-hmm. and then they lost a tough one at Aquinas. And they seemed to be really back on the right track.
And coming up next on Wednesday night, they'll be taking on Great Lakes Christian. And that will be at home at the Fieldhouse.
So this Wednesday they play at home at 7 or 7:30?
7:30.
And then Saturday they go up to Madonna, which Madonna is one of the top teams in the WAC annually. And then I think the Saints.
Yeah, they play Indiana Tech right after that.
Yes, so because
Indiana Tech is the team to beat.
I guess. And they were the NAIA runner-ups, last year in the NAIA.
And that'll be a home game. So
yeah, and that's a big one.
Great crowd there for that one.
Yeah, and then I think they're off for the holidays, and they have an annual game usually with Spring Arbor on New Year's Eve, I think.
Well, they're playing in the East-West East-West game. I'm not sure where that is located. It's 11 a.m. game.
On what day?
On December the 19th.
That's I'll be down there, yeah. Well, is that at home or is that in Chicago? East-West is from Chicago.
It's in Bold Print, so I assume
it's home.
I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, and a lot of times what Coach Pashota does, and I bet you this is it, they hold a game right before the holidays where they invite a lot of the elementary kids and Adrian. Mm-hmm. And it's really a kind of a neat thing. I think they got that idea from Eastern Michigan when we went up there one year and played them. And boy, those kids make a lot of noise. That's a great thing to bring all the young people to the field house.
Yeah, as many young people as we can get there.
You're doggone right. But all in all, I think it's just good to see our women who have been historically strong, and they seem like they're going to be in it again. We don't broadcast, I think, again until the 1st of January,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, the first part of January, I think we'll be doing the Cornerstone game.
Yes, at Cornerstone.
No, it'll be here.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And then, let's see, I'm not sure. I have to look
at
the
I think we do. Right, I think we have Concordia,
right,
I think.
Yeah, we have Siena Heights at Concordia. That'll be on January the 7th.
Oh, that'll be a great game.
That will be a great game. And then we do the Siena at Northwestern Ohio on February the 7th.
Yeah, and I know we're trying to put together right now a men's and women's basketball reunion on the January 13th home game against Lawrence Tech, that we hope to have a lot of our men and women's alums back just to take a look at campus and celebrate and get together as a basketball family. So we got a lot of good things happening, and our track teams got off to a great start. So anyhow, thanks, Pat. I'm glad we had a chance to kind of just go over what's going on.
Yeah, and a lot of things going on at Siena Heights. And, of course, if you want to find out more, you can go to the Siena Heights website and look on the athletic page, and that'll be sport that you...
SHUSaints.com. Don't say that three times in a row, especially somebody like me has a hard time saying his S's. But,
well, that's going to wrap it up, I guess, for tonight's Saints Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, Fred Smith with you, and, of course, we want to thank our women's lacrosse players who came in the studio tonight, Jenna Alley and Sophia Baugh. Great representatives of Siena Heights University, and going out tomorrow with the Shop with a Hero program out at Meyer. So if you see a lot of athletes out there, you know it's from Siena Heights.